I like to say, blessed and highly favored. Amen. That is my permanent state of being in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Well, it's certainly good to see you all here today, and welcome to our first-time visitors. Why don't you just give a round of applause for our first-time visitors? Praise God. Just so happy that you came today, and God has a word in store for you. And Pastor Gary mentioned, today is Friends and Family Day. Now, we are a growing ministry, an upcoming ministry, a ministry of purpose and destiny, and God has great things in store for us. And we're just excited. I was just talking to the Connection team. Yesterday we were out and about, connecting with people in the neighborhood, and we had a great day. You know, it was certainly a lesson for us because, it was overcast to start. In fact, it rained. And, you come out and you look and you say, oh my Lord, it's raining. What's going to happen today? But I kept my mouth shut. I just said, hey, let's chill a little bit. And, by the time it was time for us to go out, the sun was out, praise God, and we were able to go out and we met some nice people yesterday. I believe that we sowed some good seeds, and we're looking forward to seeing a harvest from that. Amen. Praise God. So it's an exciting time. It's time to talk to your neighbors and your friends about Jesus. It's time to let them know that Jesus is alive and that there are exciting things happening in the kingdom. Can you say amen? Praise God. And so the thing is that we're the ones who have been given the mandate. Jesus says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now you go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. Glory to God. So we have that. So today we're going to be talking about changing your world. Say, changing your world.
Changing your world.
Glory to God. That's a powerful concept. Changing your world. Just before I, get into the lesson today, I was thinking about, you go to different churches. How many of you have been to different churches? Visited different churches, right? Okay. And how many of you have been to a black church? If there's such a thing, right? I was thinking about, just the different responses that you will get when you're at different churches. Now, here at Streams, we tend to be a little quiet. I'm probably the most rambunctious one here, but most folks just like to, let the word sink in. But you go to churches and, the pastor's preaching and people are, shouting and saying, yeah, preach it, pastor, preach it. Preach the word. And that's exciting. Then you go to some churches and, the pastor declares something and somebody says, make it plain, pastor, make it plain, make it plain. That means they're not understanding, not quite getting it. And then if the pastor's too long, somebody says, all right, take it home, pastor, take it home, take it home. I hope you won't have to say take it home to me today, amen? Praise God. But today we're going to really get into the word of God today. And I do have scriptures that I'll be putting on the screen. And can you see today? Okay, praise God. Going to make sure that you're able to see the words. Amen? Praise God. So we're talking about changing your world. Now, a woman was asked by a coworker, what is it like to be a Christian? She replied, it is like being a pumpkin. First, God picks you from the bunch, from the patch, brings you in, and washes all the dirt off of you. Then he cuts off the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. Say the yucky stuff. You didn't think you had any yucky stuff in you, right? All the yucky stuff. Then he removes the seeds of doubt, hate, greed, etc. And then he carves you a new smiling face and puts his light inside of you to shine for all the world to see.
Amen.
Now you missed a great opportunity to smile so I could see that the light is in you. Glory to God. I think this little excerpt really speaks to how God deals with us. You know, he picks us from the patch. The Bible says, Jesus said to his disciples, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Can you say amen? And then he brings you in. The Bible says that, you know, he brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out with a high hand. And that is typified in how he brought out the children of Israel out of captivity. The night before they were released from captivity, the Lord had instructed them that they should go borrow jewelry and all the stuff from the people of Egypt. And when they came out, when it was time to go, the people told them, listen, don't give it back, just go. And they were able to go with all the wealth of Egypt. Can you say amen? So God, when he brings you out of a place, he's bringing you into a better place. Say a better place. Glory to God. He's bringing you into a better place. And so he brings you in, then he washes all the dirt off of you. And that's the power of the blood of Jesus. Say the blood of Jesus. Then he cuts off the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. Now, that is the part that most, new believers are not willing to go through. You see, you have to realize that from the day you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you make that quality decision to sit at his feet, then it's going to be a process where he's going to be working out some things in your life. Can you say amen? And see, change is not always easy. Change is not always comfortable, but change is always necessary. Tell your neighbor, change is always necessary. Glory to God. And so he wants to scoop out that stuff. You know, I remember we have a family member that drank for years. I mean, you know, you could have called him a submarine. He was always under his waters. You'll get that on the way home. But he drank for years until he had an encounter with God. Once he had that encounter with God, then God took the very taste out of his mouth. He couldn't stand the sight of it. We're talking about a God who can revolutionize your life. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So he scoops out the yucky stuff. Those habits. We're creatures of habits. And, you know, when you get born again, your spirit man becomes alive unto God. But your mind still needs to be renewed. Can you say amen? It's not hocus pocus. And ooh, all of a sudden, you have new thoughts and new, tastes and all that. No. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans that we have to renew our mind. Say, renew the mind. And that is a process. I want you to know that that is a process and that every believer ought to understand that and be patient with yourself and recognize that God is not mad at you because, you know, you got saved on Sunday and on Monday you were cussing out your neighbor. Oh, you have never done that. And he said, oops, did I say that? The mind still needs to be renewed. Amen. And then he removes the seed of doubt, hate, greed, etc. See, he removes it. And ultimately, he's trying to get you your PhD. He's trying to get you to pass having doubts. Can you say amen? He carves you a new smiley face and puts his light inside of you to shine for all the world to see. So you've got to remember to smile. Now the born again believer, having a regenerated spirit and a mind renewed in the word of God, has the divinely induced ability to change his or her world. Can you say amen? Now the question is, how do I do that, Pastor Mike? Well, why don't you just quit your job? Leave your family. Go up to the Blue Mountains. And spend 40 years up there seeking the Lord. And then maybe you will find the secret. In fact, we're taking applications today. Dan, you have the applications? How many are ready to sign up for that deal? I'm just being facetious. Listen. The simple truth is this. The simple truth is this. How do I do that? How do I begin to change my world? The simple truth is this. By believing and speaking. Believing the word of God and speaking it over your life. This is the only way to appropriate by faith all that he has given by his grace. Can you say amen? The secret is right under your nose. It's in your mouth, the word of faith that we preach, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can you say amen? Now, before we throw out the baby with the bathwater, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. It's about truth. Agreeing with God by believing and speaking only what he says about you and your household. Anything less is a deception of the enemy. Just sheer lies. Can you say amen? You may say, is that all there is to it, Pastor Mike? Pretty much. But permit me to unpack it a little bit for you. I want to unpack this for you because, you see, when you've been walking with the Lord for a period of time, you know, you go through different seasons and different cycles, and, you know, you've heard many messages, and, you know, many things have been released, and, you know, now you have to process it all. Now you have to package it. Now you have to make it practical in your life. It's got to be something that you can use and experience in your life so that you can actually see the manifestation of what God has promised. But then you have to come to a conclusion. You have to be able to, you know, bring it down to, okay, what is this all about? And I want you to know today that after you have gone through an understanding who you are in God through Christ our Lord, and you have mastered those basics. I know Pastor talked about the fact that we'll be going through some of those things. We'll be having classes to really help that new believer. After you have gone through that and you understand these things, then what do you do and how do you incorporate this in your life? Jesus said, listen, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you more trouble than you've ever had in your life. Oh, that's not what your Bible said? Oh, no? Wait, let me say, wait a minute. Oh, that was first book of Pastor Mike. Oh, jeez. I'm writing my own thing. It says, I will give you rest. It said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because what? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know why angels can fly? Because they take themselves lightly. Oh, you thought it was Red Bull. That was before Christ. No. But it comes down to this. And as I unpack this for you, you're going to see what we're talking about. So the first order of business is to believe God's word. Why believe? One, God's word is truth. Say, God's word is truth. And if you just pay attention to the scriptures on the board, John 17:17 says, Jesus speaking says, sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Can you say, your word is truth? Glory to God. And that is the Amplified version. Praise God. I'm breaking out of the King James a little bit. Amen. Listen, I grew up on the King James. All my scriptures were internalized in the King James version, but, you know, I do love the Amplified also. Praise God. But Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Say, your word is truth, Lord. So the building blocks of an abundant life is the word of God. Can you say amen? The one constant that we as believers have in our lives is the word of God. Can you say glory to God? You see, the thing is that your circumstances and your feelings will change, but the word of God will never change. Can you say amen? You can take it to the bank. That is the wonderful thing about this so great a salvation, that you can always listen. You see, the word will change your feelings, but your feelings can never change the word. That's building your house upon a rock. Can you say amen? That's what Jesus was talking about. Says the wise man builds his house upon a rock. But what did he say before? He says, he that hears the words that I speak and do them, I will tell you who he's like. He's like one who builds his house upon a rock. So to build your house, to build your life, Your life needs to be built upon the word of God that lives and abides forever. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So the first order of business is to believe the word of God, because God's word is truth. Next, all his power is in his word. All his power is in his word. Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power." Say the word of his power. "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Now, I want you to key into the word of his power. Notice it didn't say the power of his word. Now, it was specifically crafted that way by the Holy Spirit, because if it had said by the power of his word, it would imply that all of some power is in God's word, but not all power is in his word. But I propose to you by the word of God that all of God's power is in his word. He just has to say it, and it is. He just decrees it, and it is. So all of God's power is in his word. Glory to God. Let's go to the next one, Brother Man. His word never returns void. His word never returns void. Oh, there we go. Oh, what's happening? Yeah. Yes, there we go. Praise God. His word never returns void. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." What this is saying is that God spoke the world into existence. He spoke it into existence. And that is why, you know, it's all about, we have to believe the word of God, because the word of God is powerful. All his power is in his word. Now go to the next scripture. In Isaiah 55:10-11, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without water in the earth, making it bear and sprout and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word," say my word, "be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." God is talking about his word. Glory to God. You can see the power of the word of God. Can you say amen? Glory to God. His word gives life. His word gives life. In John 6:63, it says, "It is the spirit," this is Jesus speaking, "it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. It is of no account. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, providing eternal life." Can you say amen? The word of God gives life. Glory to God. His word has cleansing power. In John 15:3, Jesus said, "Now are ye clean. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Wow, imagine that. Now are you clean by the word which I have spoken unto you. Now are you clean by that word. Glory to God. I want you to, let's go to the next. The word of God is to your spirit man what food is to your natural man. It is our spiritual sustenance. Say our spiritual sustenance. Or food. Now the constant and deliberate meditation of the word of God will result in the word becoming flesh and revolutionize your thought process, filling you up with truth, the true riches of glory. In other words, it results in you becoming one with the word, which is the prerequisite for speaking. Can you say amen? Oh, the treasure of a heart overflowing with truth. Say aloud, I am a lover of truth. turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a lover of truth. Glory to God. You see, God's word is truth. So when I say to you, speak the truth, you have to understand, if you start to tell me all the negative circumstances in your life that do not line up with the will of God for your life, then you're not speaking the truth. You're speaking a lie. You know, forgive me for being so bold, but that is the truth. Because anything that doesn't line up with the word of God concerning you and I as born again believers, if that's what we're speaking, then we're not speaking the truth. But you say, but Pastor Mike, wait on a minute. I've got this pain going on here. By the time we finish here, you're going to understand that you're going to say, well, listen, you're not going to deny the fact that the pain is in your body, but you're going to deny its right to be there. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, I have this pain in my back here, but praise God, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed, and this pain has to go. It is trespassing. Now, when the kids are acting up and you know, what's the first thing you want to say? Oh, these kids are just about ready to kill me. See, Jesus said, well, let me get there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So say to your neighbor again, I'm a lover of truth. Say it like you mean it. I'm a lover of truth. Now, the second order of business is to set in motion the truth of God's word in your life and household by speaking it over your life. Tell your neighbor, speak the word only. Now, why do I have to speak? Number one, the word conceived in the heart and released by the tongue has the same creative power as when God himself spoke it. Can you say amen? See, that's why we're not talking about name it and claim it. We're talking about the word of God being conceived in your heart, formed by your tongue, released into the atmosphere. That's what we're talking about. That releases the creative power of God in our lives. Can you say amen? Let's look at the next scripture, Mark 11:23. Jesus gave us this principle that, you know, every believer ought to, you know, unpack, wrap your mind and your heart around it, and come to the full realization of what we're talking about here. Jesus, and I'll give you the backdrop. One day Jesus was, you know, walking, and you know, he was hungry, and you know, he saw this fig tree, and the fig tree had the appearance that it had fruit on it, you know, and he went over there, you know, and you know, he went to pick some fruit and picked the fruit, and there was no fruit, and Jesus was upset. He says, "Wait a minute, you have the appearance of bearing fruit." Know any Christians like that? No, let's leave that. Go over this side. Jesus said, wait a minute. You have the appearance that you should have fruit on you, and I come up and there's no fruit. And Jesus says, listen, from this day forward, no man shall eat fruit of you again. And he just walked away. And the next day, the disciples are coming, and Peter looked at the tree, and he saw that the tree had dried up from the root. And he was like, whoa, Jesus, look at the tree that you cursed yesterday. And Jesus said, hey, have faith in God. Or as the original translation says, hey, have the God kind of faith. Then he went on to say, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, talking about the God kind of faith, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Say, you shall have whatsoever you say. This is a spiritual law. It's a spiritual principle that you and I, as believers, must understand. Jesus laid this out. You know, listen, for Jesus, it was, guys, you're all so excited about this. You know, it's like us, you know, if when the Lord shows up and somebody gets healed and they jump out of a chair and we get excited. Ah! That's just normal in the kingdom of God. But the disciples were all, woo, this is exciting. Jesus, look at the tree. Jesus is like, hey, have the God kind of faith. But let me talk to you about it. And he laid this principle out for us. And we need to understand this. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I can hear somebody saying, mountains? You mean I can go out there and move the blue mountain? The mountains represent the circumstances of life, the trials, the tests, all the aliens that are trying to invade your property. Can you say amen? It's talking about those negative circumstances that the enemy will prearrange and arrange in your neighborhood. You know, your neighbor who doesn't like you because, you know, he just thinks that, you know, you're one of those holy rollers.
Hallelujah.
See, thank you, Pastor. We got one in front now. Oh, yeah, they go to church every Sunday. Seen those neighbors? They see you coming and they're like, thank God I don't have any in my neighborhood. But the mountains are talking about the situations of life. So it could be a financial mountain. It could be a sickness mountain. It could be a relationship mountain. Whatever it is, Jesus is saying and giving us this principle to guide us through this walk that, listen, if you shall say unto that mountain, he didn't say pray about the mountain. Oh Lord, I got this mountain. Oh Lord, Jesus. This mountain is too big. No, he said, he didn't say pray about it. He said, speak to the mountain. If you speak to the mountain and says, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. But here's the key. This is where we mess it up. And shall not doubt in his heart or differ. You cannot waver. James says that he that wavers is like the wave of the sea. Let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. The wavering. And that's where the work comes in. You see, when I say to you that, you know, it's believing and speaking, you're like, oh, it can't be like that. Do you know how hard it is to believe? I want you to really think about it. How many times you say, oh, I believe. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. And then you go out and you're like, no, I didn't. I thought I did, but no. Oh Lord. Because you see, you have an adversary. You see, you have an adversary and he goes about as a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He goes as a roaring lion. He pretends to be. His teeth are already knocked out. Jesus knocked them out, so he can't bite you. But he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so the thing is that, you know, when you are not careful as to what you say, then he'll hear doubt and fear and unbelief, and he'll come and try to buddy up with you. And he'll try to cast seeds of doubt in your mind. And so when you're saying, well, I'm going to believe God for this, and he's like, hey, remember what you did just the other day? Cut that person off. That's one of the easy ones. I'm giving you just the easy ones, right? Ah, remember what you said to your wife the other day? Ooh. Oh, remember what you said to your husband the other day? Oh, remember what you told those kids? Ah, you cursed them out, didn't you? All of a sudden, he wants you to doubt. He wants you to differ in your heart. And then you said, oh, that mountain, I can't do this. But I want you to know, this is where the work is. They asked Jesus in John chapter 6, and I don't have that scripture, in John chapter 6, when Jesus was moving around and teaching, somebody said to Jesus, you know, Lord, you know, how do we do, teach us that we can do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on he that he has sent into the world. Can you say amen? So it's work to believe. Tell your neighbor, it's work to believe. But if you believe and do not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. I heard one time that God has told us that we can have whatsoever we say, but we are saying what we have. That makes a big difference. He said, you can have whatsoever you say, but we are saying what we have that we don't want, you see. And that's where we're going with this. But let me keep moving forward here. So the word conceived in the heart, I don't want you to miss this, and released by the tongue, has the same creative power as when God himself spoke it. The God kind of faith is released. Glory to God. Now, the heart of man, the believing place, can only be programmed by the spoken word, most effectively yours. I'm giving you some new nuggets here. The heart of man, the believing place, can only be programmed by the spoken word, most effectively yours. Let's look at James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, it says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Next slide. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now that's the mouthful there. I need to really get into that for you. What James is saying here is that we look at a horse. How many have horses at home? Or have had any horse? You've had horses. Praise God. They are massive things. I mean, they're fascinating creatures. You know, I have a lot of respect for a horse. And yet, a little bridle. You put a little bridle in that horse's mouth. Just a little bridle. And you are able to control that massive, powerful creature just by putting a bridle in his mouth. Then James says, look at a ship. You have a huge ship, and that huge ship is controlled by a little rudder. Wherever you turn that rudder is where the ship goes. And he says, look at those two massive things, a horse, a big ship, and I want you to compare that with your life. And he's saying that the thing that is governing or directing your life is that little thing that you have in your mouth, that is called your tongue. Can you say amen? Then he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. I want you to know that because of the fallen state of man, before you are born again, I'll tell you, listen, I mean, have you ever had, well, you've probably done it. I remember before I got regenerated, I mean, I could cut you with my words. I was quick. Cut you with my words. I think somebody said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will not do so. That's a lie. If you were to reflect on maybe your childhood, many of you are dealing with things today in your life because of things that were spoken, negative things that were spoken over you in your life back when you were young. And you're still trying to work your way out of those things because it became a part of your identity, and you struggled with that. Can't see yourself on top. Can't see yourself amounting to anything great in life. Can't see yourself really getting that promotion on the job. Can't see yourself really, you know, being happy, truly happy. because of things that were spoken over your life, that you believe and began to speak over your own life. But it says that the tongue is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body. So your whole life can be messed up because of the words that you've been speaking out of your life. And it says it's set on a course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now here's what that's saying. That is saying that you can have longevity in your family and still die young because you speak the wrong things out of your mouth. It will change the very course. The words that you speak can change what's supposed to happen to you genetically. Now, don't put your hands up for this one. But most people, the minute they get up in the morning and they start to sneeze, they feel a little scratch in the throat, what's the first thing that you normally do? Oh, I think I'm catching a cold. And have you ever thought about that? That you say that with absolute faith. You believe that. You believe that. Just, you know, when you think about it, think about, you always stub your toe or whatever, and you're like, oh, I'm just clumsy. Oh, I'm a klutz. I'm a this. And I want you to know, when you say those things, and you actually believe those things about yourself. But when you come to church and you hear the word of God, that's when you start to, well, is that really true? It's the challenge. But the tongue, it can change the predetermined order of things in your life because what? It is set on fire of hell. But what's the good news? Can't leave it there. Praise be to God. Because of the regeneration and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can have our tongues bridle so that we can begin to speak things that give life and life more abundantly. Can you say amen? Glory to God. That is the truth. Glory to God. So I want you to know today, you're getting some nuggets concerning how to really change your life. Now let's go to the next scripture. Oh, I love this one. And I'm moving along, but I gotta get it in today. Bear with me. How many will give me 5 more minutes? Let me see your hands if you give me 5 more minutes. Okay. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Okay. All right. Okay. 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 Praise God. We're moving along. Oh, I love the scripture. You've got to get this. Proverbs 15:4. See, the word, they have power to put you over or to keep you under. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Say a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Perverseness therein. Now, what's the definition of perverse? To be perverse is to be stubbornly contrary, even in the face of truth. Know any perverse people? Ever been there? So in essence, a wholesome tongue, when you speak right, when you speak the truth, always, irrespective of the situations that are shouting at you, you are maintaining a flow in the spirit. You are maintaining your connection with God. You are maintaining that fellowship, not the relationship, that fellowship. You're not putting any roadblocks in the way. But the minute you begin to speak contrary to the word of God, it says there is a breach. You know what a breach is. It's a break. You know, you look up that word in the Hebrew and stuff. It has some other definitions that it's kind of scary. But a breach in the spirit. So what you'll find is that God is not doing anything to you. It's like, oh God, why is God not... He's saying, well, what have you been speaking? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. I want you to know today, that you could be sabotaging your own success because of the words that you're allowing to come out of your mouth. Now, we thought that, this Christianity thing, when I was growing up, it was, how much can we roll on the floor and, do all this stuff? And no, this is the real deal right here. This is the real deal. Next, it's the law of creation. In Proverbs, in fact, before I get to the next, let's leave that one on there. This is another scripture. In Proverbs 21:23, for those who are taking notes, it says, "Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles." So if you set a watch at your mouth, you put allow the Holy Spirit to bridle your tongue, the Word of God, which is truth, says that when you keep your mouth and your tongue, you're cognizant. You're always cognizant of what's coming out of your mouth. I'm telling you, it's a lifestyle of faith. This is not theory. I've lived it. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. How many times have you gotten into trouble by the things that you've said? Say it. That's it. I like that. It's like, say amen or oh me, Glory to God. Why did I say that? And the thing about words, you put them out there and you're like, oh, come back. It's too late. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Let's go to the next scripture. I've got to move forward. Proverbs 18:22. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. That's the Amplified Version. So now it's not God who is working against you, because if God is really for you, but you have to cooperate with the grace of God, and to cooperate with the grace of God, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to put that bridle in your mouth, because you are creating the world in which you live. And if you don't like the world that you're living in, I want you to know the good news today is that you can change the world that you're living in by simply believing the Word of God and begin to speak only what He says over your life. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Bring it home, Pastor. Bring it home. No. You see, it's the law of creation. God spoke all into existence. Being created in Christ Jesus affords us the same prerogative. We are talking about changing your world. It is also the key to becoming a doer of the word. Oh, you got to get this. Let's go to the next scripture. Thank you, Brother Ed. He's working hard over there. Put a round of applause for Brother Ed over there, will you? Praise God. Oh, you've got to get this. It's the key to becoming a doer of the word. I want you to know that many times you come across Christians that have been people that have been saved for many years, and they love God, and they go to church all the time, and they get in the Word, and but they just can't seem to get over, just can't seem to cross over into that land that flows with milk and honey, that land of more than enough, not just enough. They just can't seem to get over to that place where they have victory, where their life is crowned with victory, and they're always on top of the circumstances. Doesn't mean that you don't have challenges, but you understand that, listen, I'm going to exalt the Lord my God over every situation, trial, and test in my life, and so I can still maintain that smile that He carved out. And this is one of the things that we've been missing. In James chapter 1:22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I propose to you today that the connection between hearing and doing is speaking. God never does anything without first speaking it. You check it out in the scriptures. He never does anything without first speaking it. That's why, you know, and you just, if you just stop for a minute and observe your own way of operating, because we were created in his image and in his likeness, and so we operate like God. In fact, in Ephesians 5 verse 1, it says, and be ye imitators of God. That means we're supposed to act the way God acts. We're supposed to be like our Father. If you check it out in your life, you speak before you do. Say, I'm getting ready to go home now. All right, let me show you. All right, I'm getting ready to close now. Oh. So it's the key to becoming a doer. You can be saved for many years and miss this truth. Never forget it. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, the key is when you speak that word, you are programming your heart. And as you program your heart, Jesus said, a good man out of the abundance of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth what? Evil things. Well, do you think things are just dropping from heaven in people's? The things that you believe, your believing place. You program your heart, your spirit, your innermost being is programmed by the spoken word. And that is why it's not just good enough just to, you can't just stay home and read the Bible. You need to hear that word. Either you're going to speak it yourself so it can get into your spirit, or you've got to come and sit under the man of God and can hear that word spoken. That spoken word has creative power. Can you say amen? It's the only way to bind and loose. You see, the power to bind and loose is on the earth, not in heaven. And binding and loosing comes from here. So you are either binding yourself to the negative circumstances of life, the unpleasant things that you don't want by the words you're speaking, or you are loosing yourself, or you're loosing the angels to go to work for you. See, now you can see how now your Christianity can, you know, really be practical. Doesn't have to be fruity, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, some Christians are like granola bars, you know, they're fruity, flaky, and nutty. You know, don't have to be like that. This is the real deal in terms of your Christianity and being a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just understanding that when you are out in the marketplace, when you're at the school, the thing that distinguishes you from everybody else is what's coming out of your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth? You talk different. And if you talk different, you're going to walk different. No. Glory to God. Let me bring it home. I'm just about there. Glory to God. It's the only way to bind and loose. Let's go to the next scripture. And that is my last scripture. So glory to God. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 3:10 it says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Wow. So it's saying that if you will love life, do we love life here, right? Love God, love life, love people. If you will love life and see good days. Ooh, that's all I want to see. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do I have a witness in this house? Glory to God. That's what I'm confessing. I'm not like, oh, the devil is on my back. He's trying to take me out. Oh, Lord, Pastor, lay your hands on me, please. I'm going to open my mouth. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Wow. So all of a sudden, it's not pastor's fault that things are not working out. Like, they're like, oh, geez, pastor, that's a nice place to say glory to God. It's not anybody else's fault, because the key is right under your nose. Amen? Right under your nose. When you speak for the word of God, all heaven pays attention. Angels get to working on your behalf, bringing to pass the word or the will of God that is already settled in heaven and was just simply waiting for confirmation on the earth. Glory to God. Just simply waiting for confirmation on the earth. And in conclusion, as from the mouth of the caterpillar, the cocoon is spun in which its own metamorphosis will occur. That metamorphosis is changing from a caterpillar to a butterfly. So from the mouth of the believer comes the environment for the changes that will occur in his or her life. Let me read that again. As from the mouth of the caterpillar, the cocoon is spun in which its own metamorphosis will occur. So from the mouth of the believer comes the environment for the changes that will occur in his or her life. Can you say amen? Did you get anything out of this today? Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. I want you to confess this with me. Say, I will put a premium on increasing my capacity to believe God's word and speak it only over my life and household. Now I want you to do that again after three together. One, two, three. Glory to God. Come on, give the Lord another clap offering. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I know you were blessed today. And I want you to really meditate on this. Really meditate on this. And really take it to heart. Because it simplifies. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. All I have to do now is believe God. God loves to be believed. And then speak forth only what he says concerning your life. Amen. Why don't you just bow your heads right now? And as we, as this song plays, Father, I thank you for your word that has gone forth today with accuracy and precision, finding the good soil of the hearts of your people. I thank you, Lord God, for the transformation that has already begun. I thank you for those things of eternal value that have been set in motion. We thank you, O Lord God, for your faithfulness unto us. Just meditate on these words. Hallelujah. Yes. Precious Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Oh, precious Lord. Just lift your hands towards heaven. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Yes, you are. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the conquering Lion of the tribe of Judah. Precious Jesus, it is you we love, Lord. It is you we worship. Hallelujah, it is you that we praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord. Oh, fix your eyes upon him. Hallelujah. Precious Lord. Yes. crown him in your heart. Let him sit on the throne of your heart. Hallelujah. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Precious Lord. Precious Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We exalt you in this place. We give you the preeminence always. We acknowledge every good thing that we have in you, O Lord our God. Oh, we give you the highest praise. You are high and lifted up in this place. Oh, you are high and lifted up. We crown you, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Oh, just bask in his presence. Just feel his warm embrace. Son of. Oh, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you are high and lifted up, Lord. Oh, we give you all the praise. Precious Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, no sweeter name. Oh, precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, it is in you we live and move and have our being. This is your doing, O Lord God, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Without you, we are nothing. But with you, we have everything. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your holy name. Now with your head bowed and your eyes closed, we have just worshiped the Lord. We have just lifted up our hearts before Him. And I do not want to close this service without giving someone the opportunity to step into the reality of being born again. To step into the reality that empowers you to change your world. To know what it's like to be fully and completely secure in God. To know that if you were to leave this place today and you were to take your last breath, your eternal destiny would be secure. You would know that you would spend eternity with God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't say, I'll do it some other time. You have the opportunity today to make a decision that will change the course of your destiny. It will set you on the right path. And so while all eyes are closed, heads are bowed, and believers praying, standing in the gap for those who need to cross over, I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. And the thing to bear in mind here is that although I am speaking the words and you're speaking them after me, if you believe those words in your heart and you're confessing them with faith, then it is just as good as you saying them. And so if you just say this with me, say, Dear Heavenly Father, say it with me, please. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to die in my stead. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sins and now receive wholeheartedly the free gift of salvation. I ask that you wash me in his blood, fill me with your spirit, and make me your own. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing my prayer. I pray it and receive it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, there might be someone here that you would consider yourself to be born again, or you've been to church and you said, yes, I am saved, but you've wandered far from God and your heart has been cold, maybe lukewarm towards the things of God and the kingdom. And today you want to make a 180 turn. You want to get back to the things of God. You want to be on fire for God. And today I'm going to lead you in a prayer of rededication. And I'm going to ask the believers just to pray this with you, just in case there is someone here who needs this. Just say, Holy Father, I thank you for your faithfulness and your love. Come on, believers. I confess my neglect of nurturing my fellowship with you. I ask that you forgive me and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing my prayer. I pray it and receive it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering in this house. Now, Jesus said that if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven, before the angels, and my Father in heaven. Is there anyone here today that actually prayed the prayer of salvation, where you accepted Jesus in your heart for the first time today? If there's someone that prayed that prayer for the first time and you believed it, would you just raise your hand? Okay, so everyone is saved. Okay. And is there anyone that prayed the prayer of rededication and you want to be bold to say, listen, today I rededicated my life to the Lord? Glory to God. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Glory to God. Come here, Becky. I know you're bold. I just want to hug you. How is that? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord another clap offering. Caleb, you rededicated your life today? Oh, praise God. Come on. Rejoice, folks. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, bless God for his goodness towards us. You know, we just love his presence and we love what God is doing here at Streams of Life. And I want you to know that greater things are ahead for each and every one of us. And I want you to know that if you didn't feel inclined to stand up today because of, you're just not that bold yet, I don't want you to think that that negates what has happened in your life today. We're here to love you, not to judge you. We don't want to put you on the spot, but we certainly want to give you the opportunity to be bold if you're so inclined. But if you prayed the prayers today and you meant it in your heart, it is just as real in your life today as it was for those who stepped forward. Amen? Glory to God. So God bless you all and thank you so much. for coming. Let's keep moving forward in the things of God. Let's keep standing with the man of God, the woman of God of this house, and see God move mightily in our behalf. Amen. Just lift your hands together one more time. And Pastor, will you come up? Just come up and just pronounce a blessing upon the people of God, please. A benediction. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.